June 30th marks the two-year anniversary of the return of Issues Etc. And if you've enjoyed listening to Issues Etc., please consider making a special anniversary contribution. You can make a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. You can also make a special anniversary gift by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for listening, and thanks for your support. For the remainder of this hour, we're going to be teaching a Sunday school lesson right in the middle of 1 Kings 18. Very interesting, rather frightening story there. God raining fire from heaven. Joining us to talk about it, as usual, Deaconess Pam Nielsen, Senior Editor of Sunday School Youth and Family Materials for Concordia Publishing House based in St. Louis, their Sunday school curriculum called Growing in Christ. Pam, welcome back.
Hello, Pastor. It's great to be back.
Pam, this is one of those stories that you kind of have to get the backstory on a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Elijah has been off the radar screen, as we say nowadays, for several years. Why? And then what brings him out?
Well, yeah, this is one of the great Old Testament stories. There's a lot going on here, and you're right. You got to know the backstory. If you go back a few chapters, mid 1 Kings 16, 29, where you learn about the rule of King Ahab in Israel, and you learn there that he was more faithless than all the other kings. He erected an altar for Baal and made one for Asherah. He totally turned away. It says in the scriptures here that Ahab did more to provoke the Lord, the God of Israel, to anger than all the kings of Israel who were before him. So you have that going on, and you have Elijah, the Tishbite, who gets a word from who speaks to Ahab and tells him that because of his faithfulness, there's going to be a drought, a severe drought, no dew, no rain for years, except by his word, by Elijah's word. And so he tells him that, and the word of the Lord tells Elijah to get out of Dodge, head eastward, go to the brook of Cherith, and he is there for a while until the brook dries up. And then we have that wonderful story where he runs into the widow of Zarephath, and she feeds him with her meager bits of food, and he raises her son. And then you get our story, which comes out in 1 Kings 18, and it says, after many days, the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year. So we've got 3 years passing here. And God tells him to go back to King Ahab, to this wicked king. And he says, and then I will send rain upon the earth. So Elijah goes back to show himself. And the king calls Obadiah. And Obadiah was in the household of the king, but he feared the Lord. And when all of the wickedness of the king was going on and he was after the prophets, and Obadiah took 100 of them and hid them so that they wouldn't be killed. And you have Ahab saying to Obadiah, go through the land to all the springs of water, to all the valleys, let's try to save our horses and mules. Let's split up, and we're going to try to find water, because there was none. And as Obadiah goes his way and Ahab the other way, he runs into Elijah, and he recognizes him as a prophet of the Lord, falls on his face, and he calls to him. And Elijah says, it is I. And he tells him, go to Ahab and let him know that I'm here. And Obadiah says, how can I do that? He's going to kill me. He's, you know, you brought this on us. This isn't going to turn out good, and you're not going to be here when he comes. He's afraid. And Elijah says, you know, do it. I'll be here. He promises him promises him, he says, as soon as I've gone from you, the Spirit of the Lord will carry you, I know not where. And so when I come and tell Ahab he cannot find you, he'll kill me. Well, and they go on. It's quite a story.
When we come back, we'll get more of that story with Deaconess Pam Nielsen. On this Tuesday afternoon, June the 29th, we're talking about God raining fire from heaven. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Messiah Lutheran, Seattle, Washington. Grace Lutheran, McPherson, Kansas. St. Paul's Lutheran, Bridgeport, Nebraska. Our Savior Lutheran, Raleigh, North Carolina. St. Paul Lutheran, Hancock, Maryland. Messiah Lutheran, Keller, Texas. St. John's Lutheran, Maple Grove, Minnesota. Grace Lutheran, Parker, Colorado. And Our Redeemer Lutheran, Harrington, Kansas. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
All theology is Christology. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Catechesis, God's way of teaching faith in Christ and love to the neighbor. The Concordia Catechetical Academy is dedicated to promoting Luther's small catechism and faithful Lutheran catechesis around the world. We are the publisher of the Lutheran Catechesis Series, catechetical materials for use with adults and children, in congregations and on the mission field, in families and in schools. Visit our website at peacesussex.org.
Have you heard of the CLCC? In Hosea 4, we see, "My people are destroyed by lack of knowledge." The Confessional Lutherans for Christ Commission can help educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. We treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Lutherans would if they learn what we believe, teach, and confess. So visit our website, www.theclcc.org. Check out what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us. And maybe encourage your pastor to hold a seminar in your area. Just go to theclcc.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Tuesday afternoon, June the 29th. Deaconess Pam Nielsen is our guest for about another 10 minutes. We're talking about that famous story of God raining fire from heaven. And now with the backstory here, it appears that no one here really had any reason ultimately to fear, because the contest that ensues between apparently the God of this faithless king and the God of the prophet is pretty much no contest when it all comes down to it. Tell us the story briefly.
Well, that's right. There ends up being a showdown between the king and the Lord's prophet, Elijah. And Ahab greets Elijah when they finally come together and says, "Is it you, you troubler of Israel?" Which is really ironic, isn't it? Because it's the king, Ahab, the wicked king, who's really caused all this trouble and brought this drought upon the land by his wickedness and his disbelief. So you have this sort of challenge that Elijah sets up for him. He says, you know, fine, if you're gonna bow down to Baal and Asherah and turn your eyes away from the true God and trust these false gods, let's see what your gods can do for you, in essence, you know. And so he challenges the prophets of Baal, and he tells the king to prepare a sacrifice, call on your God, and whoever answers with fire is the winner. And so they're both going to build an altar, and they both do, and very clear specifics about two bulls being given, and they sacrifice the bulls, they put it in pieces on the wood, and then they put pour water on it, a ton of water, and they build a moat around it, so it's a soaking wet altar. And so the prophets of Baal get, you know, they can go first, and they wait and they wait and they wait for the prophets of Baal to, as they call to their god, to their Baal god, begging him, set this on fire, light this light this altar, nothing happens. And they finally even resort to mutilating themselves, cutting themselves till blood is gushing upon them. They're so desperate to get their God to do something on their behalf. Then Elijah steps forward in the evening, and he rebuilds the altar of the true God with one stone for each of the 12 tribes of Israel, prepares the bull, puts on the wood. He's the one who pours the water on his altar, drenches it with generous amounts of precious water, and he prays to the true God. And he doesn't call upon God to send fire. He simply asks God to make himself known to the people. And God does it instantly. The fire of the Lord, 1 Kings 18:38, consumes the offering, the wood, the stones, the water, and even the soil. And the people respond, all of them, with fear. The Lord, he is God. God acts, you know, the other altar dry to the false gods. Nothing happens. The people are desperate. And here the true God shows himself in the way that he chooses, and lights the fire, laps up the water, it's all consumed. Great showing of God here on the mountain.
Now, nowadays, and I think with reference to the kids who are learning this lesson, the prevailing message, both in our culture and sadly even in our church, is would never permit a contest like this. It would be a meeting of minds. This would be we would discover at the end that Baal and Yahweh were the same guy, just seen from two different perspectives, and all would be well, and Elijah would make up and probably have some sort of group hug with the prophets of Baal when all was said and done, and then they'd conduct a joint worship service.
Yeah, that's right.
What do you say to children at their level to drive home to them in no uncertain terms what it is God is saying and revealing of himself in this incident with Elijah and the prophet of Baal?
Well, you really want to point out here the boldness, I think, that we have to call on our God, to be who he says for us, and to boldly confess. I mean, this was a dangerous thing for Elijah. He was one of the prophets that should have been still in hiding, and he gets in the face of this king who's honoring these false gods, and he speaks the truth firmly, clearly, and he speaks in faith, knowing that his God will be his God for him. And I think, you know, so often in our lives, we're almost afraid to call on God in this way. You know, one of the things my study notes say that many people today have their own personal Baals. We place relationships, money, other things ahead of the true God. We kind of have a foot in both both worlds, which was going on at this time with many of the Israelites. Well, yeah, there's the God of our people, but maybe these other gods can do me some good too. And this is a story that clearly says there is only one true God, and he is powerful and mighty, and he promises to do and to be who he is for us. And then you got to connect this to the miracle for us when God himself, not just fire, comes down out of heaven, but God himself comes from heaven and takes on the flesh and blood of humanity in the incarnation, the birth of Christ, lives among us, and then doesn't just destroy an altar to a false god, but destroys sin, death, and the devil on the tree, on the cross. Bloody, brutal death. He shed blood. God shed blood for us. Quite in contrast to the blood shed by the people following Baal, who in desperation were trying to get their God to act. We don't have to shed blood. Our God shed his blood for us. He destroyed our greatest enemies, and the drought that sin brings to us spiritually and pours on us, rains on us, forgiveness, life, and salvation through baptism, through his word, through the Lord's Supper. That's the other part of this lesson, and we can't just leave it in this cool story for a summer Sunday school about God raining down fire, especially in the week when so many of us have had awesome displays of God's power in nature through the lightning bolts that have been striking the earth. We got to go to the cross, and we got to show that this is how God, in even greater ways, in the ultimate way, comes down and destroys all that is false, all that is evil. And he does it himself, shedding blood on the cross for us.
So then with just less than 30 seconds, this is just a precursor. I mean, this little encounter between the true prophet and the false prophets, the true God and the false gods, is simply a prelude to the cross.
Absolutely. And it's such an important one, and it's very easy for us in our humanity to look at this story and go, wow, well, God never does anything cool like that anymore. Well, this is small potatoes, as we've said so many times, to the big thing, the really big, final, ultimate, incredible thing that he did for us, to become man, to suffer, to die, to rise again on the cross for us. And we always got to remind kids and help them understand why that is so big and so complete and so important that they believe and trust and look to and not be looking for signs of God in wind and fire and rain and those things. We can see God's power in small ways, but the real power is when our pastor says to you, given and shed for the forgiveness of sins, or I forgive your sins in the name of Christ in the stead and by the command of our Lord Jesus Christ. And those are the real miracles because of Christ on the cross for us.
Folks, every one of our conversations every week with Deaconess Pam Nielsen are based on a Sunday school curriculum from Concordia Publishing House called Growing in Christ. It is truly Christ-centered and cross-focused. You can find out more about Growing in Christ at our website, issuesetc.org. You can also ask for free samples of this curriculum from Concordia Publishing House. Their toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. Ask about Growing in Christ. Deaconess Pam Nielsen is Senior Editor of Sunday School Youth and Family Materials for Concordia Publishing House based in St. Louis. Pam, thank you.
Thank you. Have a great week, Pastor.
And you. In the second hour of the program, well, this is truly disturbing. You read these kind of headlines and you think it can't be, but it is. A Massachusetts school that would and plans to allow elementary school children to receive condoms without parental consent, over against parental objections, and perhaps even without any parental knowledge whatsoever. Condoms for the asking for elementary school. We're not talking about middle school, junior high, high school. We're talking about elementary school-aged kids. We'll see what Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse has to say about that to start off Hour 2 of Issues, Etc. on this Tuesday afternoon. Then, the last 45 minutes of the program, we'll talk just war. Is it really something that we can support philosophically, scripturally? Is just war a contradiction in terms? Dr. J. Darrell Charles will be our guest.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.